than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. It is almost the weekend. Welcome to the Purple Friday preview from The Call Podcast. We are a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Joining me, as always, he's got Purple Everything on. Josh, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, we made it. Purple Friday. Another week flying by. Here we go. And we win this weekend.
You know what? That would really help us out. If we could really get a win up against the 49ers, I would be happy. But before we get into that, let's talk about some of these moves that the Ravens made and how it's going to affect this team coming up. So
We make moves.
We're
moves
doing
like Jagger?
Moves like Jagger. We are on the dance floor.
Moves like losers. I don't know.
But last game, Will Davis had to be put on injury reserve. He's out, and they've signed a cornerback. I think I'm saying this right. Sharice Wright? Do you know anything about this guy? Can you give us a little info?
Yeah, I mean, he played 14 games with Chargers last year. It's a veteran journeyman. I mean, it's not a splashy signing, but it's a body to help us out, and that's what we need around here. I mean, because the personnel we have right now aren't getting it done. So I like the breath of fresh air. I see some highlights. Pretty okay. I mean, nothing really spectacular. Like, I'm jumping out of my seat saying, "All right, I'm buying my right jersey." No. It's pretty much solid play. Let's see what happens. I'm okay with it. Doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt to add any new players on deck. But, yeah, again, 14 games, knocks a couple interceptions, I think one at least in that year. So we'll see how it pans out. Hopefully better than the Damon signing, but we'll see.
Yeah, so out also as well, Jason Babin and Rashawn Melvin. We talked about Babin a little bit last episode.
God. I was like, when I saw that news, dude, I was like, yes, my prayers are answered. I don't care if we don't win a football game the rest of the year. Melvin's off the team.
Well, you know, I mean, besides both these guys not playing well at all, I think it finally shows that the Ravens are trying to get serious about winning a game, because, you know, they could have coaxed through the rest of the season with these terrible players. But now here we are, we're you know, over a quarter of the way through the season and they're still making moves. You know, Babin, Melvin were not working out and they were asked to leave the team and get out of here. Just not a good addition. Didn't make the cut. Didn't work out at all. I'm very happy to see these guys go because they just couldn't cut it as Ravens.
Yeah, they couldn't cut it at all, man. And it just sucks because you want to see them succeed. You were like, come on, guys, let's do it. But Melvin should have been going well before the season started. I mean, Tom Brady exploited him in the AFC divisional game last year, and it was just sickening. And it just continued this year where it's like, I don't know what the Ravens personnel saw in this guy to give him a second chance. If I was leading this team, he would have been gone a long time ago. But it's why I do my job, and I'm not a head of football coach. So what do I know, right? But anyway, yeah, Melvin's gone, Babin's gone. And welcome, Sharice Wright, to the flock, to the Ravens Nation. Can't wait to see what you bring to the table. And we actually brought up a few more players.
Mm-hmm.
I know we touched on Jeremy Ross this week, who was promoted to 53-man roster. Very excited to see. But how about this? And one of my favorite – I know one of your favorites and one of my favorites, so we're really going to have fun with this, but your boy Asa Jackson got brought up.
Asa
and how
Jackson?
About my guy, who was an addition, Charles James. Yep. I was waiting for this moment.
Well, I mean, this is crazy. Think of Asa Jackson's journey this year to be on the Ravens throughout the preseason, auditioning for punt returner, dropping a few, fumbling a few balls, let go. Then he went, what, to the Bills or did he go to the Jets? It was
one of those two.
Yeah, it could have even been the Giants. It was a New York team being let go after a day and now brought back to the Ravens to be on the practice squad and now brought back to the active roster. If this
Brandon,
guy...
you know what this means?
What's that?
I hate to interrupt you. Go ahead with your point. Sorry.
Okay. If this guy has anything to prove to this team, this has got to be, you got to imagine, this is your last shot to be like, hey, I'm here. I'm serious. I got something to prove. This is his last opportunity. And if he's smart, he's going to take the bull by the horns and he's going to do everything to impress these coaches, because obviously being bounced around like that's not fun. But to be given, I mean, the stars had to align for this guy for him to get back on the field. But here he is. He's an NFL player again. He's got to show everybody that he was supposed to be here in the first place.
Absolutely. He's got to show everybody that he belongs on this team once and for all. And you know what this means, though, right?
What's that?
From our review, from our last show, the review.
Right.
My dating 101 Ravens thing was right, because the Asa Jackson saga is just like it. Oh, I love you. I don't love you. I like you. I don't like you. I hate you. I want you back. Same thing.
So
Ravens don't know what they want.
So, like, Asa Jackson being invited back to the practice squad was kind of like their version of Netflix and chill. Is that what you're saying?
No. Definitely not. No, definitely not. Because Netflix and chill, something would have happened already. Something. He would have had, like, 5 interceptions already and been all Pro Bowler. Saying. If House of Cards was on. That's all I'm saying. But got me sidetracked. But then another guy called James. I'm really excited to see what this guy can bring to the table. I know we signed him from the Texans. I was really waiting for Mr. Sock to come up. If anybody doesn't know what that means, follow him on Facebook, which he actually accepted my friend request. That was great.
Nice.
And yeah, it was pretty cool. And he wears these wacky socks. I'm really happy, and he brings a lot of energy and enthusiasm. So, and what about this, though? And we didn't talk about him because, obviously, there's a reason why we didn't talk about him on the review show, because he wasn't really used. But didn't we sign Chris Givens, like, a week ago? And where did he go?
I mean, he was on the team.
He was on the field.
He was on the field. I didn't really see him do so anything.
He was on the team. He was on the field, and no. Like, well, and here's another thing, and I want to cover this play, too. There was a play in the Browns game where he actually did a post in the middle of the field, and Flacco threw it to Marlon Brown and completed on the sideline. And I'm like, Chris Givens was open. Like, actually open. Like, he could have probably scored an 80-yard bomb touchdown and didn't have it. So, yeah, I like to see more Chris Givens, because I don't know what that was about, if the play calls weren't directed to him, but I didn't see him get any targets.
Yeah, I think he was just kind of like, you know, running back and forth from the huddle, you know, kind of like Rachel and Friends from that Thanksgiving episode, just running back and forth from the huddle.
It always comes down to Friends.
It really does.
It really does.
Let's go back, fill out the practice squad. We got wide receiver Daniel Brown, and then also a running back and a tight end. I mean, with the way the Ravens are going, these guys might see some play down the road this season, but we don't know. I like Daniel Brown in the preseason game, last two games of this year, but we'll see if they actually get called up for anything. Before we start previewing the 49ers game, though, I do want to bring this up to you, and I saved it for this show because I felt as if we could kind of talk about the NFL as a whole on the Purple Friday preview. Look at this past game. Lardarius Webb went out. Elvis Dumervil went out. Justin Forsett went out. We saw Darren Waller go out for a concussion test. We saw, just besides the Ravens, just across the NFL, these crazy amounts of injuries. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger going out. I mean, you can continue it. Like, I feel as if every single play is stopped because there's a player off the down on the field or something like that.
Jamal Charles got hurt too. Torn ACL out for the year.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like, it's the NFL really that brutal of a game where you know, they can't even finish a game anymore? Because I don't know what's going on. I have my theory that I'll go into after I hear what you got to say. But to me, I'm shocked at how, like, the Ravens are saying, oh, the injury bug has hit us again this year. How can an injury bug hit that many players that many times within a game or a week or whatever? So what do you think? Is the NFL, is football that extremely dangerous that, like, it's just everybody gets hurt playing it?
Of course it's dangerous, man.
Is it older players? Like, what is it about this game the last two seasons that has made it such an injury-prone sport?
Well, it's high risk. I mean, you got guys running full speed with pads on. I mean, just look at the just anybody out there, YouTube Sports Science Ray Lewis. They say getting hit by Ray Lewis in his prime was like getting hit with 1,000 pounds of pressure. I mean, you've seen it. I mean, I haven't seen it, but you can watch the replays. How about Ray Lewis breaking Mendenhall's shoulder? How about Anquan Boldin getting his jaw busted? How about Lawrence Taylor breaking Joe Theismann's leg?
Well, yeah, those injuries happen, but are they happening more consistently nowadays? Because, I mean,
for us to go through
14 quarterbacks, it feels like, cornerbacks, I think that's insane that many guys are going out. It's just, it's crazy to me.
Well, and then you look at it, too, it's kind of ironic because the NFL wants to pre-safety and make the game safer and do this, but when it comes down to it, there's a lot more injuries in recent years, you're right, because I've seen vicious hits through the years, especially in the last decade, and it hasn't been like I'll get right back up. No torn ACL, no this. I mean, but see, when you tear knees and you're tearing ligaments, it's gravity doing its best. There's a force and there's a push and a pull going at the same time where you want to go one direction and your leg goes the other direction and your knee doesn't agree, so it gets torn apart. That's what happens there. That's a directional movement. That's a lot of, you know, your leg getting stuck and people are trying to fall on you, tackling you, and your leg goes three ways. I mean, those kind of things happen. It's not like, but you've seen like Pitta got hurt twice with the hip. Knock on some wood around here, Joe Flacco stays upright for the rest of his career, but you see it all across the board. And you're right, and it leaks to the refs being ticky tacky calls because they're hesitant on, we want to protect the players, and then with people holding and people throwing their helmets around and unnecessary roughness and roughing the pad, it's just. Hearing there's a flag on the field is getting really old.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a way.
Go ahead.
To police the game, but then going overboard is just getting ridiculous.
Yeah, and that kind of leads me into my conspiracy theory I have, with the injuries and everything going around. My theory is that due to the fact that there's so much emphasis on concussions and getting people off the field if they think they have a concussion, doing a test and doing all that, and protecting the quarterbacks to make sure, you know, they're not bounced around too much. I feel as if you're taking the way the game is played and you're saying, you know, don't hit people in the head, and you're putting so much pressure now on the players to use their legs and feet in a different way that's leading to more leg injuries. That's leading to more, think about it. I mean, with Justin Forsett this past weekend, they said he hurt his ankle. Could it be because he's got to block a certain way and he's lifting off his foot differently? Is he running? Is this become a running game now in the NFL? So the runners are doing more. Look at Terrell Suggs, his Achilles tendon. I mean, to me, it seems as if the NFL's changing the game to protect players, make sure they don't get concussions, which is a great thing. But by doing that, you're putting more emphasis on another body part that we are also seeing the wear and tear of every single week.
Absolutely. And you're putting a lot more emphasis. And then because you can't hit high and you can't hit here, it's like where you can't hit them. So you're right. Players are going after where they can. And there's a lot more injuries that are unwarranted. So maybe that'll have to be a study to look into in the next few years.
Yeah. And we'll see what happens down the road. But that's just my theory. I feel as if concussions, there's less of them going on. There's more discussion about what's happening to the brain. But by doing that, you're protecting people, but at the same time, you're also having people get hurt differently. And I think a leg injury is a lot less of an impact on everyday life than, say, a concussion, because we've seen what concussions can do to people's heads. But That's a whole other discussion for scientific people to talk about. Maybe not me, but let's get into this game. Finally, let's talk about this 49ers game coming up. We got a bad team against a bad team. We've got former Raven brothers, Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin. See the first time Torrey in a different jersey up against the Ravens, so I'm interested to see what happens there. But what are some of the keys to the game here, Josh? How do the Ravens actually win one?
Yeah, that's the question on everybody's mind these days. How can we actually get to win one? And being as it may, we have an opponent who's just as equally as bad as the Niners and gave away a football game to the Giants in the last 30 seconds of the game. And it's kind of funny and ironic too, because this is a Super Bowl matchup for the last 3 years, and we're one of the the two worst teams in the league right now. And the Niners are just anemic. The Ravens are anemic. What's funny and ironic too, as well, on top of everything else, is the Niners have two of our former weapons against us, and they're still horrible. It's just funny because I'm always joking, like, everybody, Kaepernick's going to throw for 3 touchdowns this Sunday. But, I mean, it remains to be seen on how we're going to key on these guys, because we already know what Bolden and Torrey are going to do. They're not having years because of the bad play all around, but they're still going to make plays. But then, because with how bad our secondary is, how bad are they going to affect the game plans? Because are they going to be running amok in a wild all across the secondary and getting all these yards? Or it's kind of like, or do we expect them to be at bay? And if we can shut down Carlos Hyde, we already know they're going to be one-dimensional. Kaepernick hasn't really lit it up. We already know what he can do with his legs. I mean, they're still dangerous, even if they've been playing bad lately. They're still a dangerous team. It's an NFL team. Obviously, we've already seen this. You can't sleep on any opponent. So it just becomes a point to where excuse me, I'm losing my voice. It just becomes a point to where you have to understand what matchups are going to be beneficial for our defensive personnel to thrive, because the zone coverages aren't working. The man-to-man coverage, we just could get beat. And I think we're kind of getting scared of, oh, we don't want to get beat over the top. So I'm more or less going to pay attention to what kind of defensive schemes we're calling versus how we're actually covering those.
Yeah, but I mean, if Kaepernick does throw this ball and it's to literally any of his receivers, they're probably going to be wide open. The secondary, obviously, we've seen is not what it should be. So there's a giant hole for any offense to just pick apart the Ravens. So we really do need to see players get to Kaepernick as quickly as possible. You know, we kind of saw what they could do against a runner like Mike Vick earlier this season. So really, I mean, if you can do that, but with a younger guy like Kaepernick, if you can shut him down a little bit better, that would definitely be key for the defense, just getting to him as quickly as possible. And I mean, we've said this again, broken record, like you said on the last show, no penalties, cut down on those stupid blatant penalties, and know the playbook, and don't be, you know, offsides, and don't mess with the quarterback when you're not supposed to, and stop doing that. What was it? Lawrence Guy had a great game, but then do stupid stuff.
Like that guy.
Yeah, he was doing great, and then he just, you know, he shoves the quarterback after he's already thrown the ball blatantly. You don't do that kind of stuff. The defense just needs to be more mature. It needs to be in a better frame of mind. It needs to just be a better all around defense, and stop giving away yards. You're already giving enough away by just playing the secondary the way they are. Don't give more away than you have to.
That's a very good point. I mean, you don't want to give up any free yards and free points regardless of the situation, but you're right. It's bad as we're playing. We don't want to magnify that and go, oh, it's just adding to it. And what's going to more or less be the exciting matchups to watch too is, you know, how they respond with the criticism, the new personnel coming in, and how they rise up to the occasion and thrive under the system, and see if they can step up and actually make a few stops, make a few plays, and win a football game. This is going to be dire. I mean, we know what the team's capable of. We know what Kaepernick's going to do. We already know what Torrey and Bolden are going to do. We already know what Vernon Davis is capable of. We haven't really seen Carlos Hyde that much, so or if not at all. So it's interesting to see how they're going to key on the running game. And we just need to get on. I mean, we need our offensive line to play stellar like they did this past weekend and blocking for the running lanes. Really hope Forsett is a go for the game. I haven't really heard much on that. You know, we're waiting for the injury report here to be up shortly here today. So, the official list. And I really can't wait to see what it really comes down to as far as the personnel is concerned and where they're going to be.
And, of course, this game is in San Francisco. It's out on the West Coast. That'll definitely factor into how these Ravens play. They are canceling. I believe they've already done it, the trip where they're just staying out there because Arizona's the week after. I think that's a good idea given the fact that what happened with Denver and Oakland, obviously staying out there for an extended period of time, did not work out. So hopefully being in San Francisco, in the I guess it'll be a little bit warmer, even though it was pretty warm earlier this week in Maryland, so they do still have some of that warm weather they could get used to. I want to see Joe Flacco just be Joe Flacco. I liked what I saw against the Browns. You know, his two touchdowns were awesome. I thought he did a great job. I want to see the offensive line continue to do their hard work. Eugene Monroe, Kelechi Osemele playing at a phenomenal level on their own parts. And again, no dumb penalties from Osemele. That's key there. And hopefully with Forsett being okay, hopefully he's able to play the entire game. Being able to run amok on that field is definitely going to be key for the offense. Because again, the wide receivers really are still just a big question mark. We really don't know what's going to happen with those guys, if they can catch a ball or know how to or anything like that. So it really does come down to Joe and Justin Forsett to really get this team going, and for the offensive line to do their job. So. Really, I mean, we don't really know what Ravens team is going to show up this week. Like we talked about in the last couple weeks, like against Denver, how the defense looked good, and then the next game the defense looks terrible, and then they both look terrible, both sides of the ball. The whole team is just a question mark right now, because we can say everything that we want about how good they are at this or how bad they are at that. And come game day, it could be completely flip-flopped. We don't know who's going to show up.
We don't. I mean, that's the week-to-week is in the NFL, and is how bad they are. I mean, it's really getting old. And I've said it all week. You know, it's a broken record. It's the same mistake. So can they leave thee behind and move forward in the process and really hone in on that this week and say, you know what, we're going to play not the same mistakes again today, and leave it all out there on the field? I mean, I just want to see a total effort. I don't even care if it's a losing effort, as long as the effort's there. But again, like going forward on situations where they shouldn't be, or, you know, whatever needs to be. So I really can't wait to see how that pans out for us and the decision making. But better decisions all around. And it brings me up to say this. Looking at the personnel, I mean, I think what needs to happen is they need our playmakers to be involved more. I'm not saying Chris Givens is a playmaker, but they need, if they added him for a reason, they need to get him the ball more involved, especially with Steve Smith's absence, because it's not working out. Adding players and nothing really fans out, or they're not being used properly. So if you're going to add a player, pretty much stick him to the squad, please, and play him.
And I think it's important to have practice squad guys come up, because I think they have a better connection with the team. They don't feel like a rental. You know, it is a smart idea to get them acclimated to the system, and you do that by having them on the practice squad, having them through training camp, having them see the team every single day. I don't really know of many rentals or free agent signees or whatever that do a terribly good job and stay long term, but. We'll see what happens down the road, but
we shall see what happens. And what I'm thinking here is, didn't is there a song or a saying that I left my heart in San Francisco?
Yeah, I think that's a song. Yeah,
losses in San Francisco this time, actually having a win for a change. How's that sound?
A win would sound awesome. I'm okay with a win. So are you predicting a Ravens win for this week?
I am. That leads me to a segue. I'm actually going out on a limb and picking this team, putting them on my back, saying I'm still believing in them, and being that they do have a team here that they can easily beat, and I think the Ravens are going to pull this one out. It's going to be a squeaker. It's going to be a big, big win by the score of 17-13 Ravens.
All right, very cool. I wish I could say the same. I'm not confident with this Ravens team right now. I honestly don't know if they're going to come out with a win. With the travel to San Francisco and with everything else going on with this team, I could easily see the 49ers squeaking away with a win. But I'm not going to say either way if I think they're going to win or lose, because I honestly don't know. I do know that it will be a hard-fought game, that it will go down to the final couple minutes, possibly another overtime game. I think it's going to be close again, like it has been this entire year. If it is 17-13, that's a good score. I could say maybe, you know, like a 17-14, like being, it's going to be very tight, very close game. And but we'll see what happens on Sunday. So have we covered everything for this episode?
For this episode, absolutely, my friend. We covered this to the max. We're ready for a win, shall we?
All right. I'm ready for a win. I hope we get one. So if you want to continue the conversation, talk to Josh or I, you can do that. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Brandon, they can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Go over to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, as well as cool photos, videos, articles that we find. We'll share them on the Call Facebook page as well. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash, like Brando Cash Entertainment. You'll know about this show, any other shows that we do. What the Puck is coming out for the Capitol fans out there, and we're actually going to be guest podcasting on a Carolina Hurricanes podcast, and that should drop out probably today, and you'll know on Facebook.com/BrandoCash, and you can hear us talk about the Capitals on a Hurricanes podcast. Kind of crazy thought there. You can go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about any of my podcasts, any of our podcasts, and as well as photos and videos. Now, again, we are free. You guys can listen to us, stream us, download us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. All we ask in return is for you guys to please spread the wealth, spread the word about the Call. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and MySpace and Squarespace and eBay and Etsy and
Snapface,
all those. Let people know, hey, it's Purple Friday. I got my purple on. I'm still repping the Ravens. I'm listening to the Call, and you should too. So I think that's pretty much it for this Purple Friday preview. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much. And hey, when are we going to do some guest podcasting? That'd be fun.
I think we should, man. I think we could get out there and do something.
Get on like a Steelers podcast and wreck havoc.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be pretty incredible. But yeah, that's pretty awesome, man. But speaking of awesome, how awesome would it be we actually win for a change around here?
I'd be happy with that.
I'd be happy with that too, man. I think everybody in Ravens Nation would be happy. The organization total. I mean, again, it's Super Bowl matchup, as we really don't want to see it, and it's late because there are two pretty bad teams going at it. But we are going to be in the West Coast, 4:25 kickoff. We're going to be okay. I think we're going to get it done this time, guys. I mean, do I sound confident? Yeah. I mean, I sound confident because I think the Ravens can actually pull this one out. It's all going to pan out. We're going to be all right. I think their second win's right here on the horizon. Guys, it's going to be okay. I know the season sucks, but we're not writing our team off ever, ever, ever. We should never do that. That being said, definitely going to be on board. We are going to be in full force Sunday. If you're out there in San Francisco, please root hard. Can't wait to see it. Because here, we're bringing you back a Ravens win. How's that sound? It sounds sweet. I know it does. Please, let's get it done. Please, oh please, with the win. Ravens, let's fly high. We're all begging for this win. Let's go.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.